Welcome to Trine Days, The Journey, Conversations with publisher Chris Milligan. I am Bruce Tatoris. With us is Michael McCarron, author of a book coming out in March 2024, Battle Space of Mind, AI and Cybernetics in Information Warfare, about the neurocognitive weapons developed by the Nazis that are used against us today by the advanced military powers of the world in a battle for our minds. His book contains countermeasures not available in the commercial world, so we can safeguard our minds from these attacks. Michael is a software engineer, data scientist, and former signals intelligence technologist with the U.S. Navy. He works with machine learning and artificial intelligence, primarily focused on financial technology, and he is a researcher in Islamic philosophy who has had papers presented at the World Congress on Mulla Sadra in Tehran. And now, Chris Milligan.
Bruce, thank you very much. And Michael, thank you very, very much for coming on. You know, this is one of the most important books that we've ever published. Again, I always have to go back to stuff my daddy told me that I didn't understand many, many years ago. And, you know, he told me about these secret societies. I remember, you know, researching the stuff my daddy told me. That was the hardest thing I found to find information on. Just said secret societies, and I mentioned drug running, and that led me to Skull and Bones. Okay, I mean, there's, you know, other secret societal organizations out there. But for my mind, at some point in time, a bunch of them, you know, they worked together to a certain extent. You start off with the history of the Thule Society and then show how this meme warfare, you know, developed out of this secret society system. And then the most amazing thing that you show is how they stealthily have been growing this psychological warfare, okay, which comes from the German term worldview warfare, okay, and how, you know, the memes and everything, they use this reflexive control. And I'm so glad that, you know, we're bridging the gap of generations, because one thing that, you know, they tried very hard when we were growing up, they didn't want us talking to our parents. They didn't want the generations talking. But, you know, if we can talk, it leads to a much better world. Now, you know, one thing when I was looking at these secret societies, I noticed how they operated. Okay. And what I've seen is a Leviathan of three levels that has three parts in each level. The top level is mining, metal, and money. And you know, it makes sense. If you control the mining that the metal comes from, that the money's based on, you're in a pretty good position. And I had an author that could affect that. He was a mining engineer, his daddy was a mining engineer, his granddaddy was a mining engineer, his great-granddaddy was a mining engineer. And I put out his book, and he was dead within 7 days, run over by a hit-and-run lorry in London. And then they have this big middle section, drugs, guns, and oil, okay, where they create big piles of money to influence things, and you know, they use war and urban renewal to move things around. And then where this Leviathan meets the road, it's media, because they've got to control the media, and then music / movies, because they've got to control the culture or it'll bite them in the ass. And then the last section is one that you really are getting into. I call it quote unquote magic, their ability to hoodwink us, to make us think something else is happening, and their preponderance on using mass trauma rituals like the Kennedy assassination and 9/11 to keep us in line. And then this psychological warfare, you know, has been going on for a long time. The other thing is I look at the secret societal level, and it's kind of up there. And then you have the sovereign countries, because of the internet, because of all this information getting out there, it's getting harder for this secret societal network to exist, to keep their secrets and to operate. And so when that starts to break down, you end up with criminal gangs, which kind of mush in between all kinds of things. And then you had the leak of all the CIA and other intelligence agencies' spy tools in 2017, which really it changed the playing field, because you have a lot more people that can play in that field with those tools. And when I was looking at these secret societies, one thing, I says, well, now, how do they operate? Do they operate? Do they just try and make evil in the world? What do they do? And really, they're pragmatist. Okay, they're very pragmatic. They say, okay, this works. Let's do this. Okay, like a lot of the stuff you've discovered. And the thing that I'm trying to bring about is, how do we deal with that? Well, we deal with it pragmatically. I call it pragmatism with a backbone. Okay, because these guys, they don't seem to have much of a backbone. They just kind of create a lot of havoc and whatnot. So I'll get off my soapbox so that we can learn things from you. So, and I want you to tell people about your website and the learning videos that you have, so people can understand. Because the more we understand what you're talking about, the better it is that we can deal with it and create a better world for our children.
The secret societies, this is if you're in intelligence, for instance, a secret society is like a dream. You can manipulate people and it's all secret, so it can be completely covert the whole time. As a matter of fact, it was Himmler, the SS leader of the Nazi SS, who wanted to use this paradigm of secret societies in his structure for the post-World War II Fourth Reich that he was planning to develop, because he knew that the German military was going to be defeated in kinetic warfare. So he adapted a hybrid warfare paradigm. And this hybrid warfare paradigm uses three levels, just like in a secret society. He mapped out that the top level would be the real Nazis who knew what was really going on. Under that would be two more layers that were convenient idiots or Manchurian candidates. And they would do the work that they wanted to be done. But even above the Nazis themselves are really just a front group for industrialists, the rich industrialists. And we have to remember how rich Germany was. Germany was the richest country, most technologically advanced and most economically advanced in the world in the early 20th century and the late 19th century. These are major players. And even today, I view all the nation states and all of their covert intelligence organizations as merely tools of rich industrialists who control the financial strings of this world. This is a technology that they're using to manipulate people. What this book does, it goes way back to the end of World War I, when the technology of mass influence and remote biological influence of people, specifically using microwaves, that the Soviets, when they invaded Berlin, discovered that they were using microwave generators to manipulate people's brain waves, their neurology. So when the Soviets got a hold of this technology, they took it to the Soviet Union. We have Operation Paperclip, where some German scientists went to America and Britain. Then we have the same Soviet program, which took a bunch of Nazi scientists to the Soviet Union. The Nazi scientists they got, because they were behind on the nuclear program, that's what they were primarily interested in, to catch up with America. Those scientists, when you trace their research, you can trace Soviet remote influencing technology to these same German Nazi scientists that the Soviets brought to their country. Eventually, it ends up as when the Soviet Union collapses, all of these Soviet researchers who have previously been working for the military industrial complex of the Soviet Union are unemployed. They have no money, everything has collapsed. So they come to America. The Americans, specifically the NSA, goes to these scientists and they start developing the same remote influencing technology, specifically at Lockheed Martin Corporation. In chapter four, we discussed the work of Dr. John Norsin, and he worked for Lockheed Martin. But at the same time, he was going to Russia to study what the Russians had been doing in such areas as reflexive control and remote biological influencing. And he comes out around 2002 is when this technology becomes actually operational, just after 9/11. He developed thought injection, which literally is a technology that injects thoughts for the stated purpose of changing terrorists from committing terrorist acts to change their thoughts away from committing terrorist acts. So there is a direct correlation, a direct descent in the technology from the Nazis to the Soviets, and then eventually to the West here in America and the United Kingdom and other places. It's like I've said, you know, every major nation state is going to have some form of this technology, but it is one of the most covert and secret technologies that they have in their toolkit to promote their policies and their objectives in the world.
Yeah, reflexive control. Can you explain that to our...
Reflexive control is something that was initially developed out of the Nazis, specifically their Fourth Reich plans after World War II. This was adapted by the Soviets. Reflexive control is when I manipulate somebody to get them to do what I want. That's the most basic, fundamental definition of what reflexive control is. And the Soviets really took this to like another level. They introduced algorithms and computation to force people to do what they wanted. The Politburo, specifically according to Dr. Serge Kernbach in Germany, who was originally from Russia, they wanted to use this technology to control the Soviets, all the Soviet people, according to the arguments that Dr. Kernbach has put out in his research. It's a very convoluted web of trying to manipulate other people and governments to get what you want, which sets up the danger is in kinetic warfare, you know who you're fighting. The danger with this is you might be manipulated through reflexive control, so to speak, or narrative networks, or just straightforward them trying to hack neurobiological facilities in your head. What this does is it's completely covert. You wouldn't even be able to tell that your own thoughts aren't your own thoughts. And we see this again and again, at least I do, but I might be a conspiracy theorist slash technologist, but when I look at the world and I see what people are doing, say the war in Ukraine, between Russia and Ukraine, two people who were part of the Soviet Union who previously viewed each other as brothers, and now they're fighting each other. It takes the world and twists it, and you can't even realize that the leaders, like Putin himself, might be under an attack vector from this technology, and he would not even realize that these warlike thoughts that come into his mind, or these paranoid thoughts that the Ukraine and the West is out to get him, would seem real to him, and he acts on those thoughts that may be just injected thoughts by somebody else.
So who's in control? Is anybody? I mean, can't this almost bite its own tail to a certain extent?
Yes, this is another problem. The Soviets developed something called the single warrior model, which was adopted by Lockheed Martin. What the single warrior model is that the computer system itself runs everything and updates its own algorithms so that a computer is running everything. And there may or may not be any humans involved in the decision processes at all. And this is a big, controversy in developing artificial intelligence is should there be a human involved in the processes? But this also comes back, I talked about this a little bit in the conclusion of the book, at the NSA and other intelligence agencies in the West, if you're using computers to go through metadata, for instance, you don't need a warrant for a computer system to do that automatically. You don't have to have a cause to do that automatically. But if a human agent is doing it, then you do. And that's a conundrum because, like I said, the Soviets really came up with computation and cybernetics involved in managing reflexive control and thought injection and all these different things. what this can create is a situation where it's like the AI Armageddon scenario, where a computer is running everything, and if it is actually using thought injection to control people, everybody, including those in charge of the computer system itself, could theoretically, because of the single warrior model, be under the control of a computer.
How does thought injection work?
Well, thought injection, according to what Dr. Norsin has written about that we publicly know, and this is like the biggest conundrum in trying to research this stuff, is because it's so highly classified. You know, Dr. John Norsin was kind of a rebel. He was talking to civilians about his work when he shouldn't have been. He was actually removed from Lockheed Martin later on, and within a year, he died of a heart attack. If you read some of the accounts of Dr. John Norsin, there are some people in the targeted individual community who actually think that they gave him a heart attack, because you can actually do that also with this technology. What the problem is, I always come back to this, I don't know how to emphasize this enough, is the covert nature of this technology and being able to fool you to think that these thoughts are your own. I don't know how to, you know, really wake people up to this reality, is that, you know, if you are going around, say you're into the Boogaloo Boy movement, which promotes civil war in America, you're going around with guns. You know, these are armed people. They are going around. There have been armed conflicts, you know, within the last 5 years in America between different groups. You are going around not knowing that you're actually being fed a program. You are being programmed like a Manchurian candidate to do these things. And it creates a very, very dangerous situation for everybody.
What's the end game? Is there an end game?
See, this is the question. If we were regular humans, if you talk to a human, you would expect there to be an end game, right? If it's an AI system, it's hard to tell what its logic is. So there may not actually be a real end game. But every intelligence organization, like Himmler, had this massive financial intelligence organization within the SS. His plan was to control the corporations, the German corporations, and the financial instruments of Germany to fight this covert Fourth Reich war. So it seems like it's mostly financial, and every intelligence agency in the world has a financial and economics division. So it's a major part of this computer system is to control the financial world. It seems like it's money, but on the other hand, if it is an AI system, AI systems can come up with reasons to do things that no human being would ever come up with a reason to do it that way. And that's another big danger of this technology.
So in the United States, is this mostly in the NSA, or is it in multiple intelligence agencies, and it's in the military-industrial complex? And
I don't think it would be within the government these days. We have to understand that there's been a very big change over the last 20 to 30 years in the intelligence agencies, so oversight became a big problem. It could be in the NSA. It could be in one of their computer systems. I personally do not believe it's in the government, because they would run into multiple whistleblowers, and we have not seen any, you know, whistleblowers per se coming out. Somebody within this massive intelligence agency is going to say, this is morally wrong and I can't support it. And you would see whistleblowers revealing this information. So to me, it's mostly run through the military industrial complexes like Lockheed Martin.
Right.
So, I'm not saying Lockheed Martin is doing this. I'm saying that they developed this technology, and this technology is also available on the black market. Anybody with enough money and resources can buy this technology and use it to whatever they want to use it for.
So what was your journey on uncovering this, on this, you know, on finding out about this? How did you find out about this?
Well, I noticed that I seemed to be under surveillance. Like, I would go out in public and people would be seemingly following me around and staring at me constantly. So at the time that I started noticing this, I was actually researching quantum computation. So over the years, I just noticed how constantly I was being surveilled, and my personal life was being interfered with. But as a being a person in the military, you talk to other people who are in the military and other classified sections of the military. I had one friend who actually worked in remote viewing. So I knew about remote viewing, and that's where the research, that's where I started my research, was looking into remote viewing, because that's what it seemed to be. A lot of targeted individuals will talk about how they confront someone, and when they confront them, they have no memory of the incident that they're referring to. They have amnesia about this. And this is something that was written about back in the day with Manchurian candidates, is that they would have amnesia. And that was one of the goals, is they would never remember what they were doing. And that's what seemed to be going on. So, you know, it's not the individuals. It's not like an army of 1,000 surveillance agents following around. It's a computer system that is directing, taking advantage of different people's susceptibility to hypnotic control, to use those people when you are around them to say weird things to you, to look at you intimidatingly. For instance, like at one point, I thought it was China that was doing this to me, because I would see Chinese people that look like, you know, Chinese businessmen who were giving me really hard stares and really just looking at me like total anger and stuff like this. And there are even street theater incidents where I'd have bad incidents with Chinese people just to get me to think it was Red China that was doing this to me. And this is common in amongst a lot of people. I've noticed that everybody's constantly blaming China for this or that. I'm not saying that's not true to a certain extent. It depends on each individual's experience and why they are being targeted and who is doing the targeting. But you can see how there's this just general ability of the system to create like a false paradigm, and you get sucked into that false paradigm and blame the wrong person. And in the conclusion, I talk about the need for forensics. Like in cybersecurity, when your computer is hacked, you can actually trace back where the attack comes from. With this, we need to be able to develop forensics so we can concretely and definitively find out who is sending these waves at people and how they are sending it, and trace it back to the origin. Yeah. Until we have that, it's just guesswork. A targeted individual is just trying to guess who is messing with them without ever knowing why they're being messed with.
Right, right. Well, you know, I have to go back and you know, listen to my daddy, what he told me, you know, because, you know, his first words were that the Vietnam War is about drugs. There's these secret societies behind it. And then he says, in communism's all a sham. These same secret societies were behind it all. It was all a big game. You know, yeah. Which took me 20 years to to deal with, because it didn't compute. You know, started me looking at this secret societal network, and they're able to go into these different sovereign countries and do things. And then, you know, if their control drops to a little bit, then the sovereign countries are left in there as players, and they can run around and create situations and different things, and you know, and create what I call mud in trying to figure out things. And so it's a wild, wild world, definitely. Now, what can we as a sovereign country do about this? What you say you have things that we can do that will counteract this? That's like on a personal level.
Currently, yeah. What I talk about in this book is looking at one of the things I looked at was how the United States is fighting a threat like this. And the bottom line is, it's pretty much not doing anything to protect the citizens of America from this technology, even though they know about this technology. My argument is that they would not do that because they themselves are using this technology to mess with other countries. So you're not going to release countermeasures to your own toolkit. But the developers of this technology have developed countermeasures. The countermeasure I talk about most in my book is created by Dr. Michael Persinger, who was a professor at Laurentian University in Canada. He's one of the few people who actually take this technology seriously and did experiments based on the technology. He was working with a remote viewer, Ingo Swann, which I'm sure a lot of people familiar with remote viewing will know, this very famous remote viewer. What he did is he used magnetic fields to block Ingo Swann's ability to remote view. So I took that concept and built a coil that Dr. Persinger had released to the public so anybody can build these coils. I changed it a little, put some cybersecurity techniques into it, So it's a random frequency. And this seems, for me personally, when I use this coil, when it's really bad, I put this coil on around my head. And this, the magnetic frequencies that this generates seems to block the thought injection that I was experiencing. So that's one countermeasure. But the Soviet scientists themselves have put out other countermeasures. They're more expensive. This is like the cheapest. It costs like a, if you build it yourself, this countermeasure only costs $100 for all the parts. The ones the Russians have created are a little bit more expensive and are a little bit more different. But you can go through, it's in my book. I talk about Okhotin, who is a Russian scientist. He created one called Gamma 7, which can countermeasure the remote physical effects of this technology.
You say you talked with some other people in the military. What's the scuttlebutt? You know, what do you guys talk about? What do they say?
The scuttlebutt is really, you know, if I would say anything that in our conversations, it's always concern at the top that they would do something completely irrational, you know, like actually go to a nuclear war, stuff like that.
Right. So, well, now, you know, one thing that we're doing with this book, because you know, I when I talk to get authors, you know, they call me up or we start talking about a book. I say, okay, what do you want this book to do? What do you want to do? And one thing you said, you didn't want to make a lot of money, so we're giving this away for free. Well, matter of fact, you've already been giving it away for free on your website, you know,
Yes.
and we just want to amplify your message. And you know, there's we're going to give the PDF out for free, and like I say, so how do people access your information at your website?
I put up all my documents on what is known as GitHub.com, which is used by software engineers, usually to distribute their open source code. All these documents are in my code repository on github.com slash autonomous019. Specifically, it's in the Battlespace of Mind repository, and you can get all my research, you know, that I have publicly available. I pursued this mostly as like a public service announcement, just to I'm trying to get as many people aware of the situation as possible, because it's directly affecting our it affects all people, but it is definitely affecting the largest superpower in the world is America, and that's where all the battles are really being waged, and they're being waged for your mind, my mind, and all the Americans' minds.
Right. And no, I mean, I talk about the psychological warfare that's been going on here for generations. And then I looked at CIA drugs, and then CIA drugs, the dark side, the MK Ultra program type stuff. And you know, it didn't start in 1954 with the Hungarian guy and the Korean War. It's been going on for quite a while. Bruce, do you have any comments or questions for Michael?
Yes, the rich industrialists of the world that you talk about at the top, they would be the either the instigators, the most aware, the financiers of this technology.
Yeah, my theory is it's a very small group of people. It's not like a it's not like the Bilderbergers or that recent conference was in Europe. I forget the name of the ski resort they go to. It's not something like that. It would be a very small group of people who have their own very insular interests at heart. It wouldn't be anybody. I don't think it would be anybody you would publicly know. It's not like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. It would be somebody who has something to gain from it, that has some intelligence and military background and knows about this technology to do that.
And is this technology a combination of radio frequencies or other kind of wavelengths plus propaganda and messaging of a more tactical method?
Oh yeah, it's like a full suite of different tools they can use. On the one hand, say you might receive a message. That message might even be on a social network. It might be thought injected into you. In tandem with receiving a message, your physiology might be messed with using a different form of the technology, like microwaves, to mess with your brain hormones in your brain. Neurotransmitters, for instance, they might make you They might send a fearful message, and at the same time you receive this fearful message, your body itself is sent a signal that causes your body to enter fear, and that is primarily processed in the amygdala. So it's a tandem of technologies.
When you described how you were targeted to be very suspicious of Chinese people, I got the impression you were describing that the Chinese people were caused to act suspiciously toward you because they were manipulated. They could have been just regular citizens who were targeted to behave that way, to mess with your head. And then afterwards, they wouldn't know why they behave that way. Do you see that some of the random violence and weird behaviors on the streets all over the planet, but I know about Americans, even shootings and, you know, people acting weird. Could people with this technology be experimenting? Can I get someone to do this? Can I get someone to do that? That type of thing?
Yeah, they pretty much have this technology figured out. It's been figured out for a very long time. Here in where I live, Lewiston, Maine, we recently had a mass shooting. When you read the newspaper reports, it's very interesting to me in this mass shooting that the perpetrator was a member of the National Guard who had recently received a hearing aid. As it turns out, his son and other guardsmen noticed that once he got this hearing aid, he started acting strangely. Like schizophrenics don't start acting strangely at age 40. They're like that at a very young age. But it is easy to hack a hearing aid, and this is a Bluetooth hearing aid. This is just like one of the most basic examples of manipulating somebody's thought processes. You can hack using Bluetooth to insert audio into the hearing aid. And then he would think if somebody was doing that to him, he would think that the people at the bar were out to get him, the people at the bowling alley were out to get him. I'm not saying that happened in this case. I'm just saying it is possible. And that is how basic and simple an attack could be. Just hacking a Bluetooth on a hearing aid could do the same trick as thought injection.
I just want to say in conclusion, Chris published my book 3 years ago, the first book I ever wrote, called God School, 9/11, and JFK, The Lies That Are Killing Us and the Truth That Sets Us Free. And in there, I talk a little bit about mind control, MKUltra, CIA, and the example of Charles Whitman, who was the shooter in the Texas Tower in 66, who was a Marine like Oswald, who was very, very well liked, and who was journaling for months before the August incident, where he went in the tower and shot 14 or 15 people before he was killed by security or police. He was journaling, I don't know why I'm losing control of my thoughts and my emotions. He started going to doctors a lot. He started taking prescriptions. And in the morning of the incident, he killed his wife, he killed his mother, and he left a note saying, I love these people. I don't know why I killed them. So that story came to mind after this entire conversation. I can't wait to read your book, Michael. Any response to that, or I'll turn it back to Chris.
No, I definitely believe that that is what's going on. I talk about in this book, the Soviets developed something called automated troops. And the Americans are also developing the same technology where you turn regular soldiers into super soldiers by manipulating their brainwaves, by managing mass formations of troops through this technology, through thought injection. So it's totally possible.
Thank you.
I went to a mind control survivor conference one time. There was a lot of ladies there that had gone through, and we had people from their 80s down to their 20s. And it was very interesting because by talking to them, you could see where the older ones, they'd been subjected to, like, you know, shotguns. They tried a bunch of different things. They were still sussing out the parts in the brain and figuring out how to affect certain things. When you got down to the people at the very end, the 20-year-olds, they talked about just a stun gun. They were just using a stun gun for the trauma. So everything you say backs up a lot of my research. And, it's a bit scary, I think, to a certain extent. What can we do? You know, tell people about it, try countermeasures. And how are we going to hold people accountable?
Well, like I said, getting to the people who are really perpetrating is the biggest problem. Without forensics, we can't really definitively know who is really behind this. I strongly encourage people to share their stories, to talk to other people that are going through this experience, to compare notes. And I think that is probably one of the biggest and best countermeasures going on these days. If you have somebody to talk to, unless you're being turned into a complete Manchurian candidate, there are ways that you can be self-aware. Self-awareness, like I studied meditation and reflection. And when I was going through this, and ironically, it has stopped since we basically finalized this book. Like it's almost, I barely am getting anything these days since finishing it. But talking to people and sharing your stories and comparing notes, I think that's really important. Anybody can do that. You don't need any advanced technology. Being aware of people around you, what they're doing, not blaming them, but understanding that something else is doing that to them to mess with you. Also, just to get you to mess with your own country at the same time.
Well, I tell you, you know, it's scary. And again, it brings to mind during World War II, you know, you had Prescott Bush, a member of the Order of Skull and Bones, you know, had some of his property taken away by the Trading with the Enemy Act because they were supporting what was going on there before the World War II in Germany. And so, yeah, these connections definitely exist. And all I can say is, you know, people, you know, check this out. Okay. And again, onwards to a better world, because we can, you know, turn this around. We can be a government of and by and for the people. So do you have anything last you want to say?
Try not to let your mind drive you crazy and practice thoughtful awareness, and don't take things personally. Just try and be relaxed and deal with what you think you're seeing or hearing. And if you can, if somebody says something to you, try and talk to them, but in a calm and relaxed manner about what you thought you heard from them. Don't be aggressive. A lot of people are driven so insane that they become violent towards those who are around them. And you have to realize that nobody around you is really trying to get you, that somebody else through them is trying to get you. And if you attack them, you're attacking an innocent person, really.
Lord have mercy. Onwards to a better future. Amen.
Amen.